Coming to you live from a little grass shack in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's the Junior Kekuweva Jr. Show, starring Junior Kekuweva Jr.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borges Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. I am Junior Kekuweva Jr., the show that answers the question, is there really a question in the first place? Okay? but anyway, hey, first, the attitude of gratitude. I got to tell you guys that this is amazing, okay? And it's only amazing for me, okay? It's not amazing for you, okay? Trust me, this is just a personal, it's just me. You know, because like for years and years, I was under the impression, right, that the only way that, you know, I could do stuff was like, you know, going through the gatekeepers, okay? And recently in the news in Hawaii, gatekeepers have been mentioned. They're slowly talking about gatekeepers, things that I have personally experienced for a long time. But the attitude of gratitude, the amazing part, okay, here's the amazing thing, right? And this is law of attraction. This is what I've attracted, okay? The majority of people now that listen to us on the podcast are coming from iHeartRadio. And the reason why it's so funny is because iHeart was a company that I worked for, okay? And then, so it was like this. So first I worked for them, okay? And I was getting paid. And I was doing, you know, weekend, you know, the guy. And the station, I was a station voice. You know, I was the guy that went, Island, 98.5, you know, the Hawaiian style and reggae, that kind of thing. It's called a station voice. So I was a station voice, a weekend guy, and I was getting paid, right? And the program director, which I really give him a lot of credit, the guy that hired me, right? And I grew to like the guy as a person, not professionally, because I didn't agree with the way he did things. Not as a boss. He was a good boss. He was the best boss. He was a great boss. It was when I worked with him down the road, and then I'm like, I don't like his working style. Now, if you don't like someone's working style, you know, whatever's right. But here's the thing in a nutshell, right? He told me, well, he told all of us in a meeting, he goes, make sure you guys know how to make yourselves valuable to the radio station and not just view this as a job. If you view it as a job, there's going to come a time where you're going to lose it. And then so I started thinking, right? And then the rest kind of unfolded, and the rest, as they say, is history. And I, you know, my company actually started contracting with the business office. And that was, that's not a podcast, Hawaiians, but I'm just telling you that that's what, you know, where I went and what I did and how I went there in my mind trying to, you know, manifest this thing. And it came out. And it was because of him, because of what he said. If he didn't say that, I would have just, you know, I was doing weekends, right? I was just, and I already had my production company. I already had my singing school. You know, I already had businesses. So like the weekend thing was just like a weekend thing. But because he said that, because I started thinking, it started playing itself out. Because you start manifestation in thought, okay? And then the rest, as they say, is history. And that's another podcast. But iHeartRadio is 45.3%. Whoo! Man, I never thought that, because iHeart was like 4% at one point. Now, Apple Podcast is down to 15.6%. And that was like up at 85%. And this is all because of Jay. Because, you know, Jay, my producer Jay, goes, well, no, you gotta, you know, like this. This is the right way to do it. And boy, did this turn out. Web browsers, people on web browsers, 18.8%. Now, this is a new one. Amazon Alexa. People are searching for us under Alexa now, right? Spotify is, Alexa is 4.7%. Spotify, 4.7%. So Spotify, we get the young guys coming out of Spotify. Podbean, 3.1%. And what else we got? It just kind of goes down. Castbox, 3.1%. Spotify for podcasters, that's on a different app, 3.1%. And then other is 1.6. So thank you guys. Really, mahalo. Thank you. We're in how many countries? I don't know. 50-something countries, 20-something states. Males are 66.7%. Females, 33.3%. Whoa, that's an angel number, 333. And women everywhere. No, I love women because they feel them. They're like, oh, I totally get you, Junior. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, that's another podcast, okay? On today's podcast, it's something a little bit more serious. Not serious, but something a little bit more educational and factual, okay? And it's the fact that your voice can heal you. Now, your voice can heal you. And how does this fit in life coaching and manifestation, Junior? Well, because sometimes I got to ask the question for you guys, right? Because you're wondering and you're waiting, and then I go off to the left. That's my ADHD brain. I can't help that. That's just the way God made me. Well, God kind of made me like that. And then there was this chemical experience in high school where these guys tried to get rid of me. And they, you know, just like, yeah, smoke this. And I was like, oh, thank you. Mahalo. You know, but anyway, all right. So your voice can heal you. Okay. Now, what am I talking about? Is this some kind of woo-woo kind of pie in the sky kind of thing? No, absolutely not. No, this is science. This is solid science. It's just that we are controlled by big pharma. Okay, you gotta look at the big picture. Excuse me. You gotta look at the big picture. Okay, we are controlled by big pharma. So a lot of holistic, natural, I want to call them remedies or practices, right, are not really smiled upon. They're not really. You know, people don't go, oh, you should do this. You know, oh, you have a headache? Oh, well, you should, you know, drink lots of water. And then they go, no, here, take two of these, right? Okay, because these guys make money on this. So this is all rooted in commerce. And you got to understand that life is rooted in commerce. Okay, so everything is a transaction. Okay, every time you kiss your girlfriend, that's a transaction. Okay? Anyway, never mind. But I'm just saying, like, everything is a transaction. Everything is marketing. When you go to a club, right, and you're trying to pick up that girl or your girl, and you're trying to sit around, look pretty, so the guy will come to talk to you if he has some guts, okay, that's marketing. So you're marketing yourself in that instance, okay? So anyway, but yeah, everything is commerce. So you can't look at it as something bad. You can't look at it and go, oh, well, you know, it's bad. No, you know what? They were there first, and they built their system. Mm-hmm. And you got to live with the system, or you can change the system. And we're not talking about, you know, in Hawaii, they have this thing called Huli the system right now. There's a movement. And huli means to turn or to turn over. And for, you know, the majority of my people are outside Hawaii. So California, state number one, Texas, number two, Hawaii is number three. And then it kind of breaks down and goes to countries, actually, after that. But anyway, yeah, so huli the system in Hawaii means turn the system over, turn it upside down. Fix it. I mean, overhaul it or destroy it. I don't think it's destroy, but huli means to change, to turn, flip it. Let's flip the system, okay? And if you're going to turn something over, okay, or if you're going to turn it, it would suggest to me in my head that, you know, up is down and down is up because now you flipped it. So now it would be in the hands of the people instead of the government, blah, 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 like, you know, like that. All right, back up, rewind. Okay, your voice can heal you. All right, so I know, you guys listen to the podcast. You go, hold on, so we got going out to the left again. But anyway, that's me. That's, you know, if you don't like me, it's cool. It's all right, just press, oh, sorry, you don't press the button. Just sign out of the app. Just go to the next podcast. Anyway, your voice can heal you, okay? And for years, so I started out in life, in business, with a production company. And because I was doing, you know, radio things because I thought that would lead me to music. And it actually did, but in the most weirdest, like, out of the left field kind of way. Okay, but anyway, so my second business, and this is what, you know, I had been teaching. So what happened, if you go to the very beginning of all of this, you know, I started teaching on the weekends, and I started teaching voice, and I started teaching voice because I have a background in classical music. And I took classical music for, oh gosh, I think one season, which was like 9 months, okay? So for almost a year. And then I had a recital, and then I had questions. Because what I observed in the recital was like, how come everybody could like be cloned almost, right? Everybody sounded like everybody else, except for the timbre of their own voice. And that means the tone. Timbre means tone. So like somebody had a different tone and this one had a little bit different tone, but the execution, everything was perfectly like everybody else. And that's because it's rooted in classical music. Okay. Now this is just, you know, this is just some background for you guys. So you guys know. So I started out in life going, okay, well, you know, I have a background in classical music and you see, my parents are teachers. Both of my parents are teachers. And so, you know, I was like, well, you know, at some point I started teaching. It just came natural. My mother said this to me. She said, teaching is inbred. And I'm like, You know, at the time I'm like, what? And, you know, because inbreeding, right, to me means something else, right? So I'm like, whoa, take it easy, Hines, take it easy. I'm not going down that road. Okay, so, but my mom was like, teaching is inbred. And what she meant was teaching is like, you're either born with it or you're not. And when I started thinking about it, I thought about all the teachers that I encountered, you know, like in elementary school, in high school. And I remember which ones were genuine, which ones were real teachers, and which ones were just there to collect a check. Because there are people, right? You know, there's like doctors, right? There's some really compassionate doctors. There are doctors that really want to make you well, you know? And then there are doctors that are just there because doctors make money and they went to school to be a doctor and they're, you know, and then they're wrestling inside with their personal passions and their personal desires and what they really would like to do if they didn't have to work for money kind of thing. Okay. And I deal with a lot of clients like that in my life coaching. Okay. A lot of people are really lost inside because they're going down a road and that road could be very prosperous and that road could be making them a lot of money, but they're not, you know, they're not getting out of life what they want. Okay, because they're just making money. And I know that sounds crazy, okay, but some people just make money. Inside, they're lost. They're like, they've got all kinds of resentment inside, you know, because they could have been doing something else. And now what we're seeing with the kids is we're seeing these kids and they just do what they want and they make money, right? Because they do it online or they whatever, or people just give them money. They have a, you know, GoFundMe account or something, and people just help them because they see them doing stuff and they see them, you know, just being them, right? But helping people, I mean, that kind of thing. And they just give. And these guys just get. And they don't have to do anything else. And they could be, you know, I don't know if you want to say influencer or whatever, but they're there. And they're making money. These little kids on TikTok are making big money. Okay, so anyway, your voice, getting back to the voice. So that was my background in classical music. And at one point, I, you know, this girl, my whole life is girls. My whole life is revolving around chicks. But this girl, the 16-year-old girl at the time, right? She was very, very talented, like super talented. And I saw that, you know, if she just knew what I knew, like she could take this stuff like off the charts. And I was right. And I trained this girl. In fact, I drove from this place called Mililani in on Oahu all the way to Kalihi. And I drove there like once a week just to teach her for free. I said, no, I know what you need. I know, no worries. I got you. And I went and I worked with her auntie at this ethnic radio station, right? And so I trained her. And she became the most outstanding 16-year-old I ever heard. And we all thought that she was going to, you know, she was going to go all the way. She was going to do something notable in music. She was going to be whatever. She's already a somebody. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we thought that. And then she got pregnant in high school, like before she graduated. And that kind of like, you know, took her to the left and her life changed course and music took a back seat, I'm sure. I never heard from her after that. So I, you know, I don't know that story. And that's not important for this purpose. This purpose is about your voice that can heal you. But while I was training her, so before I trained her, she was very quiet. She was very unassuming. She was very, I want to say, there was a lack of self-confidence there. Okay. And what I really saw is I saw her self-confidence just blossom. I saw her come out of herself and all of a sudden, boom, she was just like nailing these songs and stuff. Right. And I thought this was like awesome. And I thought, wow, what if I could do this with everybody, right? You know? And so, but what happened was word got around in this small ethnic community. Mm-hmm. And when word started getting around, like it got around fast. In Hawaii, we have ethnic communities. And certain ethnic communities, I want to say, in Hawaii are more arts oriented. And so pretty soon, like, you know, people were coming to me like, oh, can you teach my son? Can you teach my daughter? Can, you know, and then, of course, her friends were like, wow, yeah, we want to take, you know. And so here's the thing, Hawaiians, and I tell you this all the time about manifestation. This is a side note for life coaching, okay? Whatever you want in life, you have to give first, okay? You have to give first. And don't worry about what it costs you, okay? If you give of your time, you give of your life, okay? And if you're giving of your life, you're going to attract what it is that you are giving. So if you're giving love, you're going to get love. If you're giving, I don't know, whatever, time, you're going to get time, or whatever it is that you're spending time on will turn into something. And it's not necessarily going to come back from that person, but it will come back. Okay. So here's what happened. So all of a sudden I had all these people on the weekends. So I would be working, you know, I had a regular job at the time, and I had a Monday through Friday job. And on the weekends, I work. So I work 7 days a week. I'm used to working 7 days a week. I work half days. There are some days I work half days just to kind of keep balance so I don't go crazy. But because, I mean, you can get very, very mentally, I want to say, exhausted by working 7 days a week. Okay. And I work with my brain. So, you know, I get out, I go running, I go do stuff, I go gym, whatever. But then, the other portion of my life is either sleeping or doing mental work. And the mental work that I do is mostly creative because I'm a right brain type person. And I have a very different sense of reality than most people. Okay, there's other people that share my reality, but I'm just saying the average person, the person who hasn't been privy to the kind of knowledge that I've studied or the kind of things I've been exposed to in the way of studying, they kind of like, you know, look at it and go, bro, this is crazy. Man, that's crazy, unks. That's crazy, you know. But it's not crazy. It's just that you haven't experienced that. Okay, so when you try it, you know, I used to think this other guy that I knew, He used to be out there. But when I started listening to what he was saying, I discovered he was probably one of the most well-read individuals I've ever heard. And I'm like, whoa, dude, like I was just listening to what comes out of his mouth. And he used to do characters. And this guy was nonstop. He was like, I used to work with him in the recording studio. So I would do one part, he would do one part. And in between, he would do all these characters and voices. But when I actually listened to what he was saying and didn't really, because he used to make me laugh like nonstop. Every time I had a session with that guy, my stomach was sore when I left, right? I was laughing so hard. And he used to just keep like boom, 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 like that one after the other. And then I started listening to what he was saying as the characters. And I'm like, whoa. This guy has read tons and tons of books, right? Because I recognize it, you know what I mean? So anyway, but getting back to the thing, right? People just started seeking me out. Now, the world is a much larger place. And by the time the world starts understanding, you know, what I'm doing with the human voice, I don't know, maybe I'll be too old to enjoy the benefits or enjoy the whatever or even, I don't know. But let's just, you know, say that It's this discovery that I had to figure out the why or the how, actually. And you know, I always tell you guys, the how is God's job, right? So, and I didn't know that, right? I didn't know that before 2008, that the how was God's job. Mike Dooley taught me that. If you go on my Facebook account, on my work page, which is Here For You Life Coaching, you'll see a picture of me and Mike Dooley. And you'll see when it was time-wise that I started, you know, working in that area, in the law of attraction area. And so what happened really was, after everyone started coming and whatever, it took a few years of me just, well, it was more than a few years, but it took all of my weekend time. So I was not at the bar socializing. I was not at the bar making friends and picking up chicks and whatever. No. Things started coming to me because I was focused on changing lives. And that's what, you know, that's what I was focused on. And so it was never just, okay, you want to learn how to sing here, this, that. No, it was more than that. It was like, well, if you think about this differently, it'll happen easier for you. You know, that kind of thing. Okay. So, you know, I did a bunch of that. Anyway, but the science of how your voice can heal you goes like this. You have neurotransmitters. Now, I'm going to make this as simple as I can, okay? Because I don't want to get too, you know, in Hawaii we say hyperbolic. I don't want to get too hyperbolic for you guys, cousins, okay? But it's you have neurotransmitters, okay, that create a chemical reaction in your brain, okay? One is endorphins, one is oxytocin. Now, oxytocin is the bonding hormone. Okay, endorphins are the happy, feel-good hormones, okay? And when these hormones flood your brain, okay, when they're activated, now different things activate these chemicals, okay? And I'm not gonna bore you through the whole list or anything, but let me just say this. If you do this over and over and over, put it simple like that, okay? If you do this over and over, like if you do this once a week, because I have clients that do this once a week. That's it. I have a client that does it four times a week. Okay. But most of my clients do it once a week. Some twice a week. There's only one right now that does four times a week. But that person has a deeper, you know, underlying thing to resolve. Yeah. And it's working really quickly. And so, you know, she's doing that. But most of my clients once a week, and this happens, right, with this. So there's breathing involved. There's a breathing exercise. There's a couple different types of breathing, and it depends on, you know, the severity of what you're trying to overcome, and everybody's different. So some people are trying to overcome anxiety, and I'm not making medical claims, okay, because I got to say that. I have to say that legally so people don't, you know, try to sue me or anything. So depending on the severity of your condition, some people are really, really like deep into anxiety and fear. And you got to know that every negative emotion is rooted in fear. Okay. So if you're even procrastinating, putting off something, you put it off till tomorrow. We could do this next week. We could do this tomorrow. Okay. There's a little bit of fear under there. Okay. So just be aware. All negative emotions. Okay, reluctance. If you're being reluctant about something, like, I don't think I want to do this just yet. I don't know. And you have second thoughts about something, it's just a little fear. Okay, now what gets rid of this fear? Well, the combination of oxytocin and endorphins, okay, activated in such a way, and in this way, in my way, it involves energy, frequency, vibration, and velocity. Okay, now you scientific types out there, you guys probably already get it, but don't tune out yet, because there's some stuff that you may need to consider here. Okay, but what I'm talking about is long straight tones. Okay, so if I did a long tone like this, like that, and it's real gentle like this, like real gentle like that, we call those Zephyrus tones. Now, Zephyrus was the Greek god of the west wind, and the west wind was this gentle west wind. And this is not a spiritual kind of, you know, whatever. It's not a woo-woo kind of thing. Those are just, it's just the name of the tone because the tone is gentle. Now, the velocity part is strong tones. I'm not going to do it on the podcast, okay? But it's very strong. It's not yelling. It's not yelling. Although, I guess, if you yelled, you could get the same result, but it would damage your voice, okay? So you don't yell. You just push it out strong. And here's what happens. When you exercise your diaphragm and you get these breathing exercises where we develop your diaphragm, what happens is the diaphragm gets stronger and stronger and starts pushing out air faster and faster. So larger amount of air very quickly. Now, you know, when I learned this, right, when I learned these things were presented to me as singing. And then I started using it on other people. Right. And I said, I think I know what can help you. Try this. And they tried it and it worked. And they came back and then they go, wow. And, you know, I have all the reviews. I've never gotten less than a 5-star review. And I have reviews on, I think, three different channels for, four different business accounts online. And you can look at Here For You Life Coaching. You can look at Voice Master Vocal Development and all you'll see is 5-star ratings. And the reason why is because this is solid. This works. This is real. Okay. This works for every living human being. So if you're suffering from anxiety, you know, you've done the tapping, you've done the meditation and you just can't get it right. The way I present meditation is totally different. And yes, you don't need to sit down for an hour. 15 minutes is max. Okay, 10 minutes is all you need. 10 minutes a day, 15 max. That's all you need, Hawaiians. Okay, but let's get back on track. So when I started doing this, right, I started seeing an autocorrect response in the human body. Okay, autocorrect. You know, autocorrect, like the one that jams you up when you're trying to message people. Yeah, like that. Autocorrect. Okay, because when they started doing this process that I give them, right, with the voice, what happened was their body language would correct. And little kids, 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds, their bodies would start to stand upright and straight, and their chest, they would stick their chest out. It was almost like, in Hawaii, we say scrap. It was almost like they wanted to fight. I mean, like they like scrap. Like these kids were like, and they looked like brave. Like this bravery just happened, right? And I saw this, you know, and I have the ability to recognize things for what they are. And I saw this a long time ago, but I couldn't put my finger on it, okay, until 2008. Now, this, I've been teaching since 1989, and it took me that long, but God was showing me stuff. God was like, there, you see her? You see him? You see that? And I would be looking, and I would be observing, and I got it. The message I got was like, you see how, you know, multifaceted the human being is? Do you see how amazing it is to be a human being? Do you see the blessing that it is to be human? And I was looking, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. So for years and years and years, right, I was saying there's something more to this. And so I had a business partner and he was blind and his name was Brother Wayne. And he was like a brother to me, and I manifested him. It was a long story, but the short encapsulated version of that story was like I went through a lot of pain and suffering and discrimination and that kind of stuff. Okay, so I know what it's like, Hawaiians. I get it. You know what I mean? And I don't think anyone goes through life without pain or struggle or suffering or, you know, whatever. And everybody has different types, right? But here's the thing. This is what happened. So I always prayed to God for an older brother because, you know, I wanted somebody to like stop the bullying, you know, and I wanted, and the bullies that I faced, Hawaiians, were adults. They were adults. When I was 4th grade, they were adults. Okay, so I had to fight back against adults. The guys in school were minor. These guys, the bullies that I encountered in school were so minor, right? Because I was being bullied by adults outside of school. The kids in school, like, it was easy for me. I was like, whatever. And I ignored them. But the bullies that were the adult bullies that I had to face, and there was a bunch of them. Some of them were just a couple years out of high school. Some of them were much older. Some of them were the parents of the kids I had to hang out with or that I was with. And don't get me wrong, some of the kids that I hung out with, that the parents were bullies, the kids were great. The kids were totally cool. It wasn't them, right? You see? But now since I went through all of that, okay, so encapsulated version, I was always praying for an older brother. Older brother never came, of course. My mom decided not to have any more children, and, you know, God bless her for that, because, yeah, I, you know, later on in life, you go, oh, okay, well, I don't have to share this with anyone. But anyway, I'm joking. I'm trying to make light of this stuff. Anyway, so what happened was when I was 23 years old, older brother showed up. Right. And in a church of all places. And the priest said, hey, you should go talk to Wayne because he plays music, too. You know, and then it was like, oh, whoa, you want to get together? You know, because I didn't know how to talk to a blind man. It was my hang up. Right. I was like, no, I'm going to talk to him because he's blind. What if I say the wrong thing? I don't want to say the wrong thing and offend him, you know, that kind of thing. And then finally, when I met him and everything, and then, you know, it's like, oh, you want to get together and play? Oh, yeah, we get together. So I went to his care home, and you know, we sat on the floor, and those hours from I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning to like 8:30 at night or something like that was electric, like the whole day. And he's the only one that could ever keep up with my energy. He did not get tired, and he just boom, 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 boom all the way. And of course, neither one of us was as refined as the things that you hear in the recordings and the albums that you see online and stuff. You know, we were learning. We were just getting into it in 1984. And so anyway, time goes by, right? And we have these goals. And in fact, I set the goals right there that day. I said, hey, we could do this, 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 this. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. Shoots, yeah, all right. And then my job was to deliver, because if you cannot deliver what you talk about, Hawaiians, okay, and this is life coaching too, don't talk. Just don't talk, okay? There are so many talkers out there. They talk, 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 talk. When you see them down the road, you go, hey, what are you doing now? Well, you know, and then the excuses come, and then you find out that everything that they were talking about 5 years ago, nothing happened. I mean, you know, so don't talk, just do. Anyway, so back to the your voice can heal you stuff, right? So I'm on my journey on the weekends doing this thing, and these kids come, and I've told many stories from this thing, but I saw this, right? They came in my living room every weekend. My living room was like I was working. And you know, a lot of people invited me out. A lot of people was like, hey, come to my CD release party. Hey, come to my The Kind, you know, whatever. Come to my party, you know, that kind of stuff. But I was committed. I was at home committed to this stuff. I was committed. And I got to tell you, Hawaiians, if you really want to be good at what you do, you got to commit. You got to commit. All the best plumbers in the world I've ever seen, the best carpenters I've ever seen, the best doctors I've ever seen, these guys are committed to what they do. Like, they're not 100% in. They're 5,000% invested. Okay, and they live it, they breathe it, they whatever, okay? And that's what I was doing. And so it just kind of went like that. And pretty soon, I was like, well, I was working at this one radio station. I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna resign already, and because things are getting stupid. And it got stupid, and I got stupid. I was being stupid, you know. As it got more stupid, I got more stupid. And pretty soon, you know, and I knew it was going to come to a head one day. I was like, okay, one of these days, you know. And then pretty soon, I just got the idea, like, enough for it. Just walk out. Just leave it alone. And so I resigned. And I told my roommates. I had two roommates at the time, right? And I told my two roommates, I said, all right, well, you know what? We're going to have to do something full time, and I don't think the production company is going to do it. So I think we're going to build a singing school, because I've been teaching every weekend, like, you know, all weekend long. And so we're going to make that a business. And then that was our second company. It was called Voicemaster Singing School back in the day. So that happened, right? Now it's called Voicemaster Vocal Development. And that's because when my friend passed away, I kind of thought that the singing school was our stuff. Like that was the end of the chapter of me and him. And so he was blind, but he was a musical genius. Okay. And when I found out that he was a musical genius that first day that I played music with him, this was one of the things that I thought of, but I didn't really articulate it. And I didn't say, oh, we're going to start a school. I did not plan to be a teacher. I did not plan to. My dream was to stand on a stage and sing for women. I was, you know, Dean Martin, Don Ho, you guys in Hawaii know Don Ho, Frank Sinatra, all. I wanted to do that. Matt Monroe, Tony Bennett, I wanted to do that. I just wanted to stand on the stage with a microphone and sing. That's all I wanted to do. That was my dream. It's still my dream. If somebody ever gave me that job, you know, I would not, like, leave the teaching behind, but I would do it, like, one night a week. I would do it on the weekends. I would do a couple nights. I would do shows that make, you know, people laugh and enjoy. And I would. I would come out of retirement for that. But that has not presented itself. And until it does, it's not a goal. It's like, okay, if it happens, I'll do it. If it doesn't happen, if it doesn't present itself, then whatever. So I started teaching, right? And this was on the weekends without anybody. It was just me and my guitar, and the students would come every hour. In those days, I taught by the hour. And then I started crunching things down to the half hour. And then I started noticing these things, right? And I started noticing the development in people. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I had to kind of like look deeper, but I never really took the time or really made the time to do it until 2008. And I'll tell you how this happened. Now, I got stuck in a radio show with two people, one of whom was this guy that hired me way back at iHeart, okay, which was another company back then. Okay, it was called Clear Channel Communications. And they were the largest radio group in the world. And iHeart Media is the largest radio group in the world. So we thank them for our percentage. We thank them for all the people that they're sending to us. So thank you, thank you, thank you, iHeart Media. Now, what happened was when this guy hired me, right? And then down the road, there were changes. And then he was no longer the boss. And then, you know, all these things happen and life goes on. And then all of a sudden, one day, they go, okay, we're looking for somebody to work with that guy. And then this girl is working with that guy, and we need the clown. And so I was the clown, right? that was my life, Hawaiians, being the clown. And so I was the comedy relief guy. I was the, you know, what one of the guys used to call the main event. Okay, so I was the main event. But it didn't work that way on that show, because I couldn't really work in a way that I could be the main event, because I was restricted. And then the boss, our boss, right, our collective boss, said, oh, no, you guys only can talk three times an hour. And so I did the only thing that I could do to cope with the situation. Because number one, I was being, you know, I had a bridle on, right? I was being stifled. So I couldn't really come out and be funny. And the second thing was, it was a different kind of radio show. It wasn't a team kind of radio show like the one that made me popular. It wasn't that kind of show. It was run a little different, okay? Now, it's not good or bad or whatever. It was just different, okay? And because it was different, we had all this time, right? So three times an hour, right? And the breaks were only like 5 minutes long. You're talking 15 minutes out of an hour. So for 45 minutes, I had time, right? And the three, well, they were split. The times were split up. But with the extra time that I had, I went into my laptop, right? I had earphones and earbuds, and I was listening to lectures. And I started doing a deep dive. And I'm like, you know what? I am going to just really focus on me and the things that I do. And, you know, why does this work this way with the voice? And so I started, you know, down this, I want to call it a spiritual path, but it was actually a personal development path. And I went through thousands of hours of material, of lectures. Now, these weren't lectures by influencers, okay? I'm talking about college professors. I'm talking about people that know what they're talking about. I'm talking about quantum physicists. I'm talking about scientists. I'm talking about doctors. I'm talking about experts in their field. And this is what I was binge watching. And they didn't invent that term till recently, right? A couple years ago or whatever. But I was binge watching. I was binge learning, Okay. And my brain, which actually works at high speeds, that sometimes I got to slow down. You know what I mean? And that's that ADHD. The H stands for hyper. And so I binge watch, consume, right? And so I ended up with like knowing stuff that I'd never be able to use. just, you know, and my retention rate is very high because of my ADHD. And so I just dove in, right? And I kept diving and I kept going. And then I started studying individual people. And then my girlfriend at the time goes, you need to watch this DVD called The Secret. And I'm like, what? And she goes, no, you need to watch this thing. And I was loving my life the way it was, right? Because I was sitting there, you know, with this boring radio show, which I thought it was boring. And there was a lot of other things going on that were illegal activity that, you know, not, you know, drugs or anything like that. Not that kind of illegal stuff. But just, you know, in radio, there's something called payola and plugola. And then there was a lot of olas going on. So, but I just, you know, I just observed. I just said, okay, I'm not, I'm in it. I'm not of it, right? I'm not participating in it. It's not my thing. I'm observing this thing done by somebody else. So, you know, whatever, right? And so I kept studying. I kept ignoring. I kept, okay, shut this out and I'm going to focus here in my laptop and then boom, right? So eventually what happens, right, is that after all of this and after the radio show is done and I go back to work with the original team that I was working with, I started, you know, looking for something one day and then it happened. Mm-hmm. So I was in my top drawer looking for something and with the socks and everything else. And I saw this DVD again because I just threw it in the top drawer. It was underneath my socks and, you know, and I pulled it out and it goes, it's The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And I'm like, okay, well, let's watch it and get it over with. And I'm going to throw this thing away. And I put it in the DVD player and I think I watched it at least 50 times. Because everything that my uncle had taught me when I was 13, everything that, you know, that I had learned about the human condition, the human being, the psychology, the you know, and philosophy, things that my uncle would sit down and talk to me about, because he went to all these seminars. In the old days, it was called EST seminars, right? And he went to all this stuff. And he would just, like, drill me with all this stuff. And I would listen because I had to, because that was my uncle. And I had to listen, right? So I would listen, but I never acted on anything, right? It just went to the back filing cabinet. And this is also life coaching, Hawaiians, because when you take in knowledge, okay, knowledge is not power. The application of knowledge is power. It's only when you apply it. Okay. And when you apply it, it just sits there. If it's just knowledge, it will just sit there in your head. Okay. But when you start to apply it, everything that you remember, everything that you have learned about that particular, whatever, sect of knowledge, that portion of knowledge will come out and it will come out and it will go into play. And then you have the power. Okay. So that's what happened. And then it started coming out. So I dedicated my book. When I wrote my book, The Universal Law of Attraction and Singing, it's on Amazon. When I wrote the book, I credited my ex because it was her. She gave me the thing, right? It was, she opened my eyes. She actually, you know, cause she told me, she goes, if you really want to get to the next level in life, you got to watch this. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I was cocky like that. I was like, whatever. And I put it in my drawer. So a year later, I watched the thing. Boom. Okay. Now I'm exposed to, you know, everything I've been watching it at the radio station in my laptop, right? Everything I've been studying, like all of this starts to come together. Everything my uncle told me at 13 starts to come together. And then I go, okay, now I got it. This is quantum physics. So Nikola Tesla said, right, if you want to understand the universe a little bit better, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Now, all I'm adding to the mix is velocity. So this energy, frequency, and vibration that you need to understand the universe in terms of, that Nikola Tesla told us, right? Okay, I'm just adding velocity to this. I am making this happen quicker. This is being pushed faster. Okay, but there's a back end, Hawaiians, okay? Whenever you push something forward, there's a there's a void, and that void gets filled on the back end, and it comes back. And sometimes when I help someone, right, because I'm pushing the process, right, like boom, 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 let's go, the back end comes. And when the back end comes, because the front end is positive, when the back end comes, it is most of the time negative, and it will hit me. Okay, now this is what happens when you deal with energy. Okay, and you have to be able to withstand that part. Okay, now, why do you guys need to know that? You don't really need to know that. Okay, but it happens. I'm just saying it happens. When I take a human being and I develop them to a certain level where their anxiety goes, let's say the negative disappears or diminishes, actually. It doesn't disappear. It comes back and forth. But it diminishes. Now, when that energy, that negative energy diminishes, and now they are more positive than they are negative, now that their frequency has been raised, okay, there's some stuff to deal with on my end for that. Okay, there's a price to pay for that. In other words, when you help your fellow man, okay, everything is balance. Everything. Everything in energy is balance. When you help somebody, when you give to somebody, when you know, whatever, right? There are, I want to say, negative forces at work that don't like that. Okay, and I'm not talking devil and God and whatever, although some people put those labels on it, okay? But there are evil energies out there. And they're not necessarily evil in the way of the way the devil is described or anything like that, but it's kind of sorta. But it's Newton's third law. When you look at Newton's third law, go look it up. Go check. But anyway, so when I saw this development and this development starts going on, right, I get backlash from a lot of stuff, and backlash comes from different sources. And if you are self-aware and if you can see these sources, you can identify them. Sometimes the average person just thinks, oh, it's just a random thing. Now, I did this thing and I helped this person in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I noticed that, yeah, either something good or something bad happened that was, you know, a little bit more extreme than it normally would be, and they don't put it together. That's the backlash. Okay, so sometimes when you help somebody and it's positive, you get a negative backlash. But here's another thing I want to add on to that. In addition to the negative backlash that you get, you also don't put it together that when you do something good in the morning, or let's say you do something earlier in the week, and then something really good happens to you a couple days later, you don't put that together either. And you don't see it like you invested that good energy. And because you did, your goodness comes. And because you're open, and because your energy is not trying to manipulate things either way, or tug and push and pull and that kind of thing, because you're in neutral. Okay, and that's what your voice does for you. Through this process, it puts you in neutral. When you're in neutral, you receive all the blessings that are yours. Everything that you don't attract anything but what you are. Okay, but whatever it is you are, you can improve on. You can improve you. And when you are a better version of yourself, I want to say these blessings just come. And the blessings just come because that's who you are. That's who you've become. Okay, now if you're not that person yet, okay, maybe you're struggling through addiction, or you're struggling through whatever you're struggling through. Okay, but I'm here to tell you that when you get rid of that, when you work on that and diminish that, the goodness will fill instead of negativity. Okay, because goodness is infinite. Okay, I don't know if this is making, sense to you or not, but think about it, okay? Re-listen to the podcast and you'll get it eventually, okay? If you don't get it already, I guess if you're an old timer and you're listening to me, you already know. If you're young and you're listening to this, you're probably confused, okay? But listen to this part, okay? When you do good, you get good. When you do bad, you get bad, but you don't get it right away. It doesn't just happen. And people have called this karma. It's not really karma. Okay. There's universal laws involved. I'm not going to go through it, but there's universal laws involved. And one of the laws is reciprocation, and you get what you give. Okay. So anyway, but this started happening where I started seeing people get to neutral. And when they got to neutral, guess what happened? They got more confident. So you can call it confidence. You can call it relaxation. You could call it ease. You can call it a whole bunch of stuff, but that's what it is. Okay. And there was this very brilliant Indian yogi when I was a kid that I used to watch on television. His name was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And he used to always preface his statements with, I cannot tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it is not. Because we don't know what things are. We know what they're not. Okay? Think about it. Can you define what is? Like what is for a specific thing all the way down to its roots? I don't think you can. Scientists are still trying to figure out where we get the energy in the atom from. They're still trying to figure things out like that. There's a lot of things that they still don't know is what I'm saying, okay? Like they know it's energy. That's okay, where does this come from? How is this born? How is this created? They still don't know. They still don't have they have hypotheses. They think they know, right? They have an idea, but they don't really know. Okay, but here's what I've seen, what I've witnessed. I've seen God show me all these miracles, right? And pretty soon I go, you know what? This has to be documented. This has to be in a book. And so eventually I wrote a book. That's another story for another time. But I had to think about this and think about this and think about this. And one day I read a book by this guy and I go, if he can do that, I can do this. And boom, I did it. And I put these stories, these real stories of these real recoveries, of these real life situations in my book. So the bottom line is, yes, your voice can heal you. The bottom line is your voice can take away fear from you, okay? And if you go through this process, okay, on a weekly basis, and I have sound files I can give you, okay, and simple instruction, but here's your big fat but, Hawaiians, you're going to have the self-discipline to do it every day or do it once a week. Do it once a week is good enough. But you're gonna have to do these things, you know. And the question becomes, like, how bad do you want it? Do you really want to get rid of your anxiety? Or do you love the rut you're in? If you love the rut you're in, then don't bother emailing me or whatever. But if you really want to change things, all you got to do is follow the instructions. It's not self-explanatory, but it's you're able and capable of doing it yourself. Okay, you don't really need me unless you really want to get over an obstacle really quick, but I can tell you how to do it, okay? And all you got to do is write to me, junior@hereforyoulifecoaching.com. That's it, junior@hereforyoulifecoaching.com. I will send you a sound file with instructions because you listen to the podcast. That's your bonus, Radio Hawaiians. There you go, all right? And you can do it, and you can do it on your own. You don't need anybody to do this for you or, you know, anything silly like that. You can do it all on your own, okay? But it helps to have a professional. And here's the scenario, here's what I'll tell you, okay? So if you go to the gym every day, you can do whatever you can do. But when you have a personal trainer, guess what happens, right? Rapid development, right? And not just arms, right? You know, we all the guys, right? They like to work their arms so they look good in the mirror. You know, no. When you get a personal trainer, you will get thorough training and it will optimize your muscle mass or whatever you're trying to do or your body, period, right? Totally. And that's kind of like what I am. I am this person who gives people this treatment, and I give it to them in such a way that they never think the way they did before. So at Here For You Life Coaching, we say we open eyes, minds, and hearts. Okay, and how do we do that? Well, we just make people aware. We open eyes. You know, nothing in the world works the way you think it does. Jordan Maxwell said that. Okay, and it's not just a conspiracy thing, it's factual. Nothing works the way you think it does, nothing. I don't care what it is. A lot of things are here to be presented to us, you know, as rats in a maze. We're just going through this big maze called society, okay, and things are put there, things are placed there for us, okay, and if you don't know, or if, let's say it another way, if you're sleeping, and I don't want to, this is not about being woke, okay? And it's not that. But if you are sleeping, and what I want to say is there's a hypnosis, okay? And if you are sleeping and this is you, sometimes people like this go through their whole lives not knowing anything, and they just go. And all they know is struggle. And all they know is pain. And all they know is, oh, I know Ken. And you know, and this is what they think. And this is their experience in life. And they suffer. And the subconscious mind just repeats. And if you don't retrain your subconscious mind, guess what happens? It just takes you the way it takes you. And that's where you go. And that's how you go. Okay, and you never wake up. Okay, but here's the thing. This thing about your voice, okay, this oxytocin hormonal soup that it creates with endorphins and everything, okay, this starts to put you down and relax you down into neutral, into what you were meant to be. And when that happens, all your goodness comes, your blessings come. Because why? Because now you're not suffering from anxiety. You're not suffering from all this stuff. So it's affirmations, meditation, visualization, and vocalization. The vocalization part is the one that brings balance. The vocalization part is the part that it's not just speaking. It's doing these tones that gets you down there, gets rid of fear, gets rid of anxiety. And I've got tons of 5-star ratings to show you. Go look it up. Don't believe anything I say. Go to Google and put in Here For You Life Coaching, okay, and check it out. Okay, it's in Honolulu, Hawaii. Just check it out. There's 5-star ratings galore. I think we have like, I don't know, 30-something of them, whatever. And the same thing goes for Voice Master Vocal Development. It's relatively the same process. The only thing the voice students don't get is the thing that the voice students get is just vocalization because they're coming for that. The life coaching people get everything. They get a completely reprogrammed subconscious mind. New habits, new life. And when that happens, yeah, your life changes forever, Hawaiians. Because if it's one thing you should change, I mean, you know, on the real, right? Hawaiians, I gotta go. But yeah, on the real, if it's one thing you should change, it's the bad habits. Hey, I want to say mahalo to Brother Randy at Island Club and Spa, one of our esteemed sponsors. Voice Master Family of Service Companies and AFM Hawaii Music featuring the music of Darren Chinen. Yeah, I love his music. You can also book him at afmhawaiimusic.com. Okay, check him out. Until next time, this is Junior saying mahalo. And just know that your voice can heal you. You want to find out more, get a hold of me, Junior at hereforyourlifecoaching.com. I will check you guys later. Ke Hawaiians, mahalo and aloha.